We're back for another Partrain. Guys, this is the rowdiest podcast in golf, coming fresh off of Waste Management. We got a great episode ahead. What's up, boys?
What's going on?
16th hole energy. We're bringing it. We're really, really bringing it tonight.
So, you know, we normally do the cart girl. We have a couple drinks before the episode. This episode, instead of giving you a recap that you already know and that every podcast is doing, we're just going to encompass the party. We're going to have four or five drinks apiece. We're going to keep it rolling throughout the episode. But first, I just want to acknowledge our new partnership. We're super excited to be a part of the Hackers Paradise Radio Network. You guys got to go to thehackersparadise.com. Get all the latest on equipment news. The forums are great. You can join any of the conversations about anything in golf. Shout out to the Hackers Paradise. We'll be on the radio network. This is the first episode on that network. But guys, there's been a lot of fun so far this year. We've had DJ win, Stratsboy, Kazire, Rahm, Day, and now Woodland. I mean, Woodland, you know, wasn't the best playoff. We all went to watch the Super Bowl. But, I mean, you know that the PGA Tour looks to us for innovation. Even though they shunned us by not accepting our media credential request, they come
that
to
is
us.
That's a very good point, Ev. We need to make that clear.
Yeah, I mean, they ask us for things and then they don't give us what we need. But hey, we're grinders. We got the nose to the grindstone. We're a pot of the people. They came to us and said,
I like
what,
that.
What can the PGA Tour learn from the Waste Management Open? We've all heard the attendance numbers. We all know it's fun. But, you know, how can they extend that to the rest of the tour? And we have ideas.
We sure do, yeah. So, as you said, 16 at Waste Management, it's a party, it's a stadium. You see the course before and after, and you wouldn't even recognize that it's the same course. So, with that in mind, you know, to try to make this a less stuffy endeavor, we're going to the oldest tradition in sport, and we're bringing some new traditions. I propose turning Rays Creek at Augusta National into a pool party. And we get DJ Skrillex in a green jacket, whole thing sponsored by Ciroc Vodka. It's a slam dunk. Slam dunk. I've never been more sure of anything in my life. I guarantee you numbers through the roof.
Let me ask you this. Do more people hit it in the water or less?
I think guys that are probably on the cusp of not making the cut, they're hitting it in the water and then they're jumping in that pool
yeah,
party
diving
and saying,
in.
Fuck it.
That'd be
yeah,
worse.
Yeah.
No, they're diving
so
in.
So Strat, this is a very cold take. Would you so that ice cold. I thought you were saying, you know, this is gonna be a practice round deal, but you're saying this is like, you know, weekend kind of thing, guys playing at Augusta.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm gonna need you to put your smoking jacket down. I'm gonna need you to take your tasseled loafers off and remember that you're a young guy that likes to party and get on board with throwing a little pool party at Rays Creek. I mean, we can get you a VIP wristband if you want, sir, if that's going to make you feel better.
Who's we?
the royal we, man.
Is there any better pool party that you want an invite to than a pool party in Rays Creek on Sunday?
See, now those are the kinds of questions that people are going to be asking. It's the pool party to end all pool parties. I mean, you think playing at Augusta is tough? Try getting into the fucking pool party at Augusta. I rest my case. Serm's quiet. I'll take your silences.
I mean, the real question I asked more of a general question. The real question, maybe we can save this for another time, but does Spieth melt down if Skrillex is bumping beats? I don't know.
Ooh. I mean,
I think it makes him more loose. But hey,
he's probably more of a Florida Georgia Line guy. But sure. I digress.
Okay, so Strat, we're trying to go iconic venues, right? You gotta. 80-20 principle, classic corporate guy. So we're going where it really moves the needle. I'm going to Pebble, okay?
Oh.
Pebble's too relaxed. Too many ocean views and whale watching. I love Nance. He's my boy. But Pebble, Nance's voice at Pebble is even more of a snooze than normal tournaments. So if you want me to bring the excitement to a place like Pebble Beach, give me the Falcon Heavy team. Give me all of them. And let's get that crowd noise up, because I don't know if you guys watched the video of the Falcon Heavy going off, but that crowd was electric, and I want to leverage them for the Ryder Cup in Paris. But if we need them sooner, because the PGA Tour is contracting us to come up with innovation, then I say get Falcon Heavy at Pebble Beach. That's my
maybe we go with a synchronized player delivery landing system.
Oh.
Where we've got Fig Jam and Tiger Woods being descending upon the tee at the same time, much like the Falcon Heavy rocket. So I'm just throwing it out there. I'm shooting from the hip.
Yeah. Well, this is riveting. This is absolutely riveting.
Think about it.
That's incredible. Sorry, I don't know how you're going to top that. Go ahead.
He won't. Man,
I really don't have much.
Getting that. Let the guys shoot longer golf balls. See? Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, the guys that are going to miss the cut at the British Open at St. Andrews, you know, let them get a scotch at the turn, you know, for some comedy. I'm not really sure. I think what we have learned from a serious standpoint here, guys, Waste Management Open, they have designed a golf course that can fit 216,000 people on a Saturday. Why can't architects figure this thing out? Golf's got to change. Golf's got to grow. Why can't not every tournament be like the Waste Management, but maybe two or three a year? Wouldn't that be fun? Get something on the East Coast, right? Wouldn't that be great?
Well, Serm, I'll tell you this. As a marketing guy, you can't – this isn't Iowa. You can't just build it and hope they come. You got to give them a reason, okay?
What's so funny is I didn't say the Midwest. I just said the East Coast. But, you know.
I'm going to go on the record as saying we can't do Florida because you try to turn Waste Management into a Florida event, it's going to turn into the fucking Purge, okay? People aren't making Florida's it out alive, okay?
Florida's not the East Coast. I was thinking New York, potentially D.C., Chicago. Heard of it? Anyways.
it's just a map. Haven't heard of it.
Okay, well, there you go. There's the innovation. But speaking of Waste Management, we can't move on until I let Strat talk about his take on what happened to JT on number 16 after starting six on. Was it six under through six? He birdied the first six, right?
Yeah. Fire. It was complete fire.
The great pretender was doing what he does best, which is trying to convince people that he's a top tier golfer. Sure enough, he gets to 16 and has a meltdown. And there was a moment that I saw. He flashed a look to the booing crowds in the stands on 16, and I realized what we were watching was a future Shooter McGavin in the making. The contempt and the disdain in his eyes that he had for the fans. I almost thought I watched him mouth go back to your shanties, but I wasn't quite sure. I don't have TiVo anymore, so I couldn't back it up. But JT is quickly turning into one of the saltiest dudes on tour, and he's, what, 22, 23?
Doesn't have TiVo anymore. How good was that? No, I think that's interesting. I think that's an interesting take here, right? Because there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of bitch face that he shows, right? I think, you know, there's a song called The Pretender by Jackson Browne, a great hit in the 70s. Wow. Can we play that in the episode?
Sure. I'll throw it
but
in.
We'll talk to the lawyers. But we could rewrite the lyrics to The Great Pretender. 600 after six, the guy's a joke. How funny is this? All of the evening
strolls the pretender. Well, speaking of JT, didn't you guys have some pretty hot takes on the halftime performance? I mean, real
quick. Yeah, Serm, you loved it, right, Serm?
It's so funny. Strat kind of looks like the kid in the crowd, but that's just my opinion. But I thought it was a great show. I mean, the guy went actually into the crowd.
Yeah, talk about inclusion.
Which is very different. You know? Everybody likes to talk down on a performance. I mean, the guy sounded great. Was there some audio problems? Yeah, potentially, but you know, Strat might have some more personal feelings about it.
Well, okay, so everybody knows at the halftime show there needs to be spectacle, okay? You can't just come out, play the hits, and expect everyone to clap and be happy. There needs to be something that people are going to be talking about the next day. JT neither sang nor danced all that well. And typically, you give one from one column, you take one from the other. Had he been singing really well, I would have forgiven the less than stellar dancing. Given the fact that the dancing wasn't even that good and he was barely singing, I wasn't getting anything. I was waiting for a small NSYNC reunion to really blow the fucking lid off that bitch. And I think everybody was. And
no,
it didn't happen.
No, logistically, we knew that was not going to happen.
Is Joey Fat One like busy? Is he? Is Lance, yeah, Lance Bass couldn't clear out his schedule quick enough? Like, what about Chris Kirkpatrick?
Evie's getting really tense over there.
I mean, what about the kid in the crowd, though? That guy.
Yeah, speaking of the kid in the crowd.
He's your doppelganger.
Yeah, debatable. I got a theory about that kid in the crowd. My thought is, I think that that is an illegitimate child of Justin Timberlake's, because those two fuckers looked eerily similar. If you go back to early images of Justin Timberlake, my thought is he doesn't want anyone to know about this kid, but he said, hey, buddy, come to the Super Bowl. We're going to give you some camera time. Show daddy that he really loves you. I think it's an illegitimate child.
So you think that was planned? Like that kid knew it was going to happen?
Yeah, the shit was planned for sure. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, if there's any indication of our future, you know, looking down at your phone when JT's right next to you and million eyeballs are on you.
I don't know if it's a world I want to live in, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. For all the listeners out there that would like to discuss this with Strat offline, feel free to just tweet at him. I mean,
yeah, he doesn't do Twitter. Okay. So, all right. So moving on from waste management.
Yeah, seriously.
Stats and stories so far from the year. Serm, you want to kick this off? I mean, we always like to give folks some stats that maybe they don't know, right? And let's right, kick it off. I said this is gonna be the greatest season ever. So how's it looking so far?
It's looking great. I mean, I think we've got some similar themes from 2017. A couple quick hitters here. I've talked about him. Brian Harmon, you know, he doesn't seem like he seems like a guy you'd play checkers with and maybe not grab beers, but I mean, he's got 5 top tens and 7 tourneys. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, is he going to win a major? We're not sure, but the guy looks really, really strong. Tiger making the cut. I mean, that was vintage Tiger. Yeah, driver doesn't look so good. It's so funny. How does the driver look so good a few months prior and so lost? But he grinded. We love it. Ricky, Ev's boy. Guy continues to blow leads. You know, but
he's
Ev
lost 4
is
4 of 6, right?
Ev went on the air with Jason Sobel, a big Partrain fan. And said he's winning a major this year. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason behind it. Just saying it's time to break through. a couple quick, you know, Spieth, Ev, you know, I think Ev's concerned about him. Rory McIlroy, Strat doesn't think he's ever been anything very good. He claims when he started really watching golf seriously that Rory has never been a factor, which I always find interesting, but he's playing great. He's shown that over in Europe. Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, how about this guy? Wow.
I like Tommy Fleetwood a lot.
Ev's got a guy.
Tommy
Justin
Fleetwood
Hadley.
Is the best swing on tour right now.
It's sexual but violent.
Yeah, it's great.
But Tony Finau. Strat does not believe in Tony Finau. But how about this? The guy's averaging 329.1 off the tee.
Look, I like Tony Finau, but I fear that he's inching towards a rookie career, which is where he's going to be one of those dudes that everybody really likes, but he's not going to have a whole lot of really conclusive, convincing wins. I want him to, but I've been pulling for him the last 3 years and nothing's happened. And each year it's his breakout season.
Yeah, because the last 3 years, you've been pulling very hard for Tony Finau.
I mean, need to get Ping drivers? Because Tony Finau just signed with Ping.
Yeah,
he's averaging 329. Matt. I mean, I know Strat is your smash factor 450 right now, or what's your smash factor?
With turbulators, it's 500.
Googling the term turbulators.
It's a Ping thing, sir. It's a Ping.
Hey, you didn't mention Justin Hadley, did you?
I kind of did. I wanted you to talk about him.
I mean, the guy has a lot of muscle between the ears.
Built like a brick shit house.
Okay.
And you see him and Gary Woodland walking down the street, and you're running the other way.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Hadley is an intimidating dude, but that guy is game. He's arguably, I mean, if you forget about a guy like Rose, Rahm, Desire, Hadley was one of the most dominant guys on Web.com, Player of the Year, and finished, I think he had 2 top fives in the fall series, so... Yeah, I mean, there's no telling.
Yeah,
I saw him on the range.
Yeah, he's good.
He walked past me on the range at Torrey. Well,
how good is that story? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I was like, hey, Chess, what's up, man? He's like, yeah, your move. And I was like, whoa.
I mean, who names their kid Chess? You know?
Sounds like a verb. But all right. I mean, a lot of exciting stuff. We've had, like I said, we've had a lot of big winners already. So I'm sticking by my take of best season ever. But should we talk Pebble?
I like it. Yeah, let's talk Pebble.
All right. So this is a topic I feel like every golf podcast covers. I don't think we've ever talked about it. So I just wanted to say a lot of people get upset about the AT&T Pebble Beach coverage because of the showing celebrities too much, showing of the water and the whales and the property. Personally, I don't mind it. I think people need to stop crying. Show me 1 week of the year where I get to see Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning. I don't know if Peyton, I don't think Peyton's playing this year, but celebrities and athletes play golf on TV, and I get to see them sprinkled in. Sprinkled in's the key with the top pros that I want to see. I mean, show me Kelly Rohrbach. I'm in. I mean, they're both – her and Aaron Rodgers are knocking it on from 175, obviously with a 9-iron, and I want to see it.
Okay. Sir?
Ev, are you done?
Wow. I'm good. I'm on my fourth beer, so go ahead.
I mean, let's be honest. It's just, it's kind of a joke, right? Right? You know, I have like, yeah, I think we were talking earlier. I have no problem seeing a, you know, a great drive by Bill Murray, or, you know, a little, you know, high five into the crowd, or a really terrible shot into the ocean on 18, you know, from somebody. I think the best part actually, though, I think I like to see like a Tony Romo to hit a few shots. I think that's interesting, right? You're talking about a guy who's a one handicap, a scratch player. And kind of see him out there. That's great. But I don't want to see consecutive shots. I just don't think it's – I think it's entertaining, but I don't want consistent coverage. I think it's just very boring. I want to see the best players in the world. I just really do. I don't care. I don't care if it's once a year. So just give me a little bit. I don't need much. Strat, thanks. Any thoughts?
I don't mind it. I like to watch the celebrities and – when I see that I have a better swing than most of them, it makes me feel like everything is balanced in the world.
You guys live in LA. You guys look up to celebrities. You're so enamored with them. It's just part of your culture. So I get it.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Strat used to be one. So, you know.
Really? I didn't know that.
Famous in Australia.
Yeah. in West Indonesia, most of the Western border.
Yeah. He was a bit, yeah. A lot of fans in Australia. All right. Speaking of AT&T Pebble, dream celebrity pairings. Go ahead. I'll let the celebrity start.
Yeah, thank you. I'll have my publicist get in touch with you afterwards. I'm going myself, Tiger, because obviously I'm going Bon Jovi because I want to hear stories from the road, from the Slippery When Wet tour.
It's my life, but it's now or never.
Okay. Just go ahead and apologize to the listeners for that. Yeah. And then I want Stone Cold Steve Austin, because I've been watching a lot of Instagram Stone Cold Steve Austin meme videos lately, and I forgot how much I fucking love that guy, and I want to see him fucking smashing a couple beers on 18 after draining a birdie putt.
That's just so cool.
I think that's the fifth F-bomb from Strat. Talk about rowdy.
Buckle up.
All right, Tom, go ahead.
You know, I think it's a great segment. I love Phil Mickelson. I love Michael Jordan.
I love how you guys are picking PGA Tour pros when the question says celebrities, but go ahead. They count.
Well, yeah, because I already explained that I think the celebrity golf thing is a joke. Okay. So yeah. I love Phil and I love MJ, right? With obviously I'm in this pairing. These are the two biggest shit talkers in the world. MJ is a good player. Phil's obviously Phil. I mean, can you imagine the dynamic back and forth, the gambling going on? And then I'll tell you what, throw in Quincy Jones. Did you guys see the interview today?
Very, very current and relevant.
The guy would have the stories and just make me laughing in my backswing. I mean, it would be seriously out of control. So, you know, you got the competitive edges. You got Jones in there just like, you know, screaming about the Beatles in my backswing and how much they suck, you know?
You did say that. Okay, Evan?
All right, so sorry. I mean, I wasn't the kid in the crowd, so I'm going JT. Timberlake JT.
Wait, Justin Thomas or okay.
Yeah, I'm going Timberlake JT. I'm going my boy Scott Van Pelt. Okay.
SVP.
Yep. I think I talked to him at the Super Bowl in 2014, I think it was. Walked up to him at a party, never met him before. And I said, SVP, who wins their first major this year, Ricky, Spieth, or Jason Day? Guess what? Two out of the three won their first major. But he looked at me. He paused for about 25 seconds, by the way. I didn't know what was going on. And then he looked back at me, and he smiled, and he said, Jordan Spieth, the guy's nails. And that was the year that he made $12 million. So I would love to have conversations like that again. And then for my third person, I'm kind of torn. At first, I thought Rachel Brosnahan because she is maybe my top. Ooh. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Golden Globe winner, you know, lead actress.
God, that show again. You keep talking about it.
I mean, she's just incredible. So I would love to spend 4 hours with her. But at the same time, you know what? I'm going to throw a curveball. Give me Malcolm Butler. Let's play.
Let's talk. So how many people are in this foursome?
You know, we're going to fivesome here. Oh, okay. It's Pebble. It's Pebble. We got the whales.
I mean, it's basically immunity. It's immunity course. It's foursomes aren't unheard of.
Throw Malcolm Butler in there, too. I want to hear all about it.
Basically just not, you know, following the rules.
Well, I think we've got a sponsor break here.
We do, yeah. I mean, as you mentioned, we're part of the Hackers Paradise. We're getting more popular, and with that popularity, obviously, comes the need to pay some bills. So we've got a brand new sponsor.
It's kind of nice.
Here it comes. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
First ad copyright. Okay. Hey, guys and gals, let's face it. If you golf long enough, it's only a matter of time before you find yourself with a case of the shanks.
Oh.
In fact, most people won't even utter the word for fear of it affecting their game. Luckily, for all of us golfers out there, the shanks are about to become a relic of the past thanks to Shank Drank.
Oh.
Each bottle of Shank Drank contains a proprietary blend of exotic herbs and spices found only at the farthest reaches of the earth, as well as seven different muscle relaxants, corticosteroids, cannabinoids, opioids, prescription strength codeine, and a splash of Fireball whiskey.
Oh.
If you find yourself fighting the dreaded
yikes,
shank, simply consume one 750-ounce single-serve bottle of Shank Drank before your next range session or weekend round. In a matter of minutes, you'll find yourself floating on a pastel-colored cloud of freedom and inhibition as the shanks become a distant memory. And with three delicious flavors like Mulligan Mojito, sir, I know you're going to like that one, Strawberry Snap Hook, Ev, that's right up your alley.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, it is.
Very, very cherry chunk shot. That's for me. There's bound to be a Shank Drink that fits your game. Here's the best part. Use promo code I Can't Feel My Face Anymore. Again, that's promo code I Can't Feel My Face Anymore for 20% off your first order, as well as a complimentary drool bib, which you can attach to your golf bag. Stop fearing the shanks and start chasing the dragon today with Shank Drank. Big thanks to Shank Drank. Big thanks.
Thanks, guys. Shank Drank. Wow.
Yeah,
I can't wait to try it. Our shipments are on the way, so I'm pumped.
It's great to have some partners reaching out to us.
It's just solid brands, you know, good people out there. People helping people.
Yeah, people the pod. Pod for people. Okay, Sarm. This one's for you. This is a segment all for yourself. You know this. Strat and I are LA guys. We're going to Riviera. We found ways in. The PGA Tour doesn't want us there, but we're going in anyways, right? And we wanted to ask you, we're here to serve you, right? We're a team. What do you want us to accomplish at Riviera? What's your list for us?
Yeah, I think it's a great little segue after what we just talked about. So first thing I want you to do is we got to call Jason Sobel, and he's, you know, it's so funny. The PGA Tour has been so adamant about not letting us in to the press conference room. Call Jason Sobel, sneak in with him. He's a big fan. That's number one. Number two, I don't want you screaming in Tiger's backswing. Okay. Or his, you know, what we like to call his back putting stroke, what unfortunately happened at Torrey Pines. Very tough to watch.
That was,
I was there.
Yeah. You know, after, you know, a few too many Michelob Ultras, I could see Evan doing it not out of spite, but out of just reaction of excitement. And I don't want to see it. Sure. Please don't do that to Tiger. He loves the LA Open, which it used to be called that, hasn't played in it very much anymore. He's back. Don't do it.
Nice history.
I want you. Okay, so just don't do it. Okay. I want I want a Periscope. I want, you know, I think we need to do a little par-trained Periscope.
Periscope.
I
think we need to
I only have Vine.
Ever heard of Instagram Live?
I only have Vine.
All right, Strat. If it ain't Dutch, it ain't much. I think give the viewers some live footage. And maybe it's, you know, maybe it's the bar. Maybe it's the, you know, the inside with the clubhouse passes. Just let's get some footage. Let's give the folks a look in. Okay, you're there. You're on the grounds. And assuming Phil plays, I want Strat to scream fig jam after, I would say, a flop shot or a bunker shot. Scream fig jam.
I'm doing that anyway, so I'll be happy to oblige.
Do you want us to get video content or audio confirmation that Phil loves Fig Jam? Do you want us to get that? Because I can get that too.
If you can get a thumbs up or a smile after you say Fig Jam, I think we're gold.
Okay, so I shouted that at Tori, and I got those very things. Okay, I got the classic, the aw shucks Phil smile after shouting Fig Jam as he walked by me.
We didn't plan to talk about this. I just thought of it. So when I was at Tory, I went the day before Strat. The new mashed potatoes, I tweeted this, is Dilly Dilly, by the way. And the best part about it is one person in the crowd yells Dilly Dilly, and then some idiot 30 yards down the way yells Dilly Dilly back, and then a girl raises her cup and says Dilly Dilly. It just goes on and on, and it was actually one of the greatest things I've ever seen, although I know some people think it's not great.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of those had to be there moments, Ev. So for Riviera, why don't you get some footage of it, and we can have some fun with it on the next episode.
Okay. Why don't I do that and bring it back and shove it right in your face? Okay. So, text messages.
I mean, Strat, you agree with me.
I mean, you're not wrong, sir. You're just an asshole.
Yeah. Well, he's been getting saltier lately. That's a trend I see, and I got to say, I like it.
He's getting deep into that Chardonnay over there.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. Guys, sure. I'm excited about this next segment. We're calling this text messages. So, just like the PGA Tour likes to leverage us for new ideas, we also know how to get in there and get content that nobody else can get their hands on. And I don't know how we were able to do this. I don't even know who got it. Maybe it was CIRM. I think this is a CIRM thing. We were able to get transcript text messages between Jason Day and Tiger Woods. And
yeah, those guys they're boys.
All right, so there's a couple text messages here. This one's from Jason Day. It just starts off with thoracic or lumbar. Which one of the seven cervical vertebrae do you strengthen in the morning versus evening? Trying to decide which one I lace up my Nikes for this AM. Tiger replies, always focus on the C1 to C7 first and then move to the L1, L5. Never start with S1 to S3 sacrum. It really messes up your Call of Duty posture for days, not to mention your putts from 7 feet. It seems like 95% of what they talk about is about back pain.
Yeah, that was the majority. I mean, I combed through these closer than I did the Nunes memo. But one thing I found that was interesting wasn't necessarily about back stuff, but JD texts, "Hey, Tiger, not feeling so well, LOL. Which excuse should I use? Violent vertigo again or Lyme disease?" And he did the thinking man emoji face. Tiger responded quickly with, "Don't bother me, playing Call of Duty." No real big surprise there. Am I right?
So Tiger's getting back into Call of Duty, and Jason Day is taking Jimmy Walker's disease. Interesting.
You know, Jimmy Walker's wife got Lyme disease as well.
I know. They both got it. It's crazy.
That's a huge joke.
Oh, my God. No, but... Jason Day's wife posted that she has the flu. Send prayers.
And I thought, thoughts and prayers for her fucking flu.
And I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, Jason Day could be out for weeks.
Oh, he's probably going to get, he could potentially get mono. And then who knows if he'll even come back. He might be out forever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, JD's my boy, but hopefully he can keep it going.
JD is your boy. I love that.
Yeah. Since we've had such a strong start of the year, let's talk about the top 10 right now in world rankings. Pretty stacked. And we got to pick one contender and one pretender to take us into the weekend here at Pebble.
Okay. Well, to refresh our listeners' minds, the top 10 reads thus. DJ at 1, John Rahm 2, Spieth 3, JT the Great Pretender at 4, Justin Rose at 5, Hideki Matsuyama at 6, Thick Ricky at 7, Rory McIlroy at 8, Brooks and Dunn at 9, J-Day at 10. So from this list, I'm clearly taking DJ to remain at number 1. I think that he's about to unleash a can of whoop ass on the field. He's coming back to Riv, where he contested and won last year, which I saw. No big deal. Not saying the two are related, but they probably are. He's my pick for number 1. I think Rahm at number 2, that dude's going to... he's taken a big tumble. I have not seen anything that suggests he's gotten his temper under control.
Wow.
I think he's getting he's going to continue to get shook up. If he is able to figure out the mental aspect, I think he's unstoppable. I haven't seen shit that says that he has. So I think he might fall outside the top 10 at a certain point this season.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. He looks to be playing pretty well.
four tournaments, guys. It's four tournaments. But yeah, you're right. He'll probably be number one. It's a long season, sir. Buckle up.
Yeah, it's really tough to pick one contender. I'm shocked that Strat didn't pick Thomas as a pretender, because that's his thing. But
But everybody knows that. Everybody already knows that. So why say it?
Yeah,
that's actually true. A fair point.
That's true. You know what? I just got to go Rom as my contender. The guy finished second at Tournament of Champions. He won the Crew Builder. He should have been up there at Waste Management.
Yeah, but he wasn't.
But he shot a 72 on Sunday and finished 11th. And here's the other thing. You forget it.
He went to Arizona State. Do you want to talk about that?
No, I'm good. I'm good with that. Farmers Insurance Open, we forget that he shot a 68-66 Thursday. And, hey, we sent out the exclusive tweet from the range. I saw him hit a hosel at the range Saturday morning, and I said, nobody panic, but John Rahm just hosled one at the range. And sure enough, because we're the esteemed journalists, probably the top-notch journalists in golf media, he shot a 75-77 on the weekend. He was right there to win Torrey Pines as well. So, I mean, the guy has such a short backswing. How is it not possible to stay consistent? So I'm going to go Rahm. And let's see, for the pretender, sorry, I got to go Hideki. Wow. Last year was his chance to really make a dent. I mean, by the time he goes to his downswing, I've forgotten all about him. And I think he is going to slip this year.
Nothing like a good mechanical breakdown of one of the best players in the world.
I mean, am I right?
Easy, Brandel. Okay. Let's keep it going.
Randall has agreed to come on the Par Train, and we're excited about that.
Yeah,
more to come on that next few episodes.
So excited!
I'll tell you what. Let's take for a contender in this top 10. It's Strat's favorite player, Rory McIlroy.
Okay.
We are talking about a guy who's healthy.
Is he?
He sure appears to be.
Got a heart issue. No big deal. Keep going. Sorry, I won't interrupt you.
How good is that? Nothing like a good football comparison to golf. You know. I like Rory. I like Rory this year. He looks healthy. He's played well. He played well in Dubai. He's played well overseas. I mean, do you see what Jason Day said about the guy? He said he's every bit as talented as Tiger. And wow. He's right. The guy's won four majors. His head's right. He got over the celebrity thing. I like Rory this year. I think he's going to win a major. So who's my pretender in this list? As we said, it's kind of difficult. But I think it's Justin Thomas, the great pretender. Oh,
There he is, the four-putt master.
Pretender by Jackson Brown. Those lyrics are unbelievable. I've seen it a lot. But I think it goes back to the celebrity thing. I think he's quite a player, but I don't think he's going to handle this fame, you know, very well. 6 under after six, next thing you know, double-double. Guys making double bogeys all night. I think he has a down year. If so, we have to break down this top 10. I like Rory to really succeed and come back this year. And I like JT to kind of be a great pretender.
All right. Well, that's it, boys.
Short and sweet, right to the point.
Yeah, that's how we do it. I know Serm is really excited to see Berman swing at Pebble.
Yeah, it's funny. Ev was saying Chris Berman's his journalistic hero. Before that, we were getting on the show.
I don't know.
Which was a ton of fun. I mean, Ev loves watching celebrity golf, and Strat does too. It's something really fun to see. Actually,
we're gonna go to Riviera. We're gonna answer Sir Mac's wishes.
Challenge.
Yep. We're gonna get the Phil thumbs up. We're gonna yell "Fig Jam," and then we're gonna report back. And hey,
jam.
Just as a little teaser. We got a lot of big guests on the horizon, so stay tuned.
Happy to.
And a shout out to the Hackers Paradise. We're happy to be a part of the team, happy to be on the radio network, and we only got good stuff coming, so stay tuned.